Adam, this week we got a lot of listener feedback from last week's show.
Saying make it better?
The rant. They said Adam has to stop saying pedophile so much.
I don't think I'm going to ask.
No, every second
that was,
word.
That was Al. That was Al had a big rant last week, and he kept saying that word, and it was like nails on a chalkboard.
I think it was you.
No, I never said it.
Well, guess we'll just have to listen back.
Okay.
No, I'm not going to. So anyways, yeah, less pedo talk this week, Adam, and more photo stuff, okay?
Okay, great.
Welcome to episode 216 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany, and with me as always is...
Adam, Vancouver.
Also from Vancouver, we have a guest joining us.
Amber Hughes.
Welcome back, Amber.
My pleasure.
It's good to be back. It's been a long time.
It has. I don't even remember when the last time was.
Probably a year.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Well, that's the problem with wedding photographers who are good is they're pretty much booked up the whole summer.
It was basically this time warp where I popped out on the other side and suddenly the year was over.
Oh, hey, that's tough when you work all the time.
Basically, yeah.
It's a good problem to have. So what's going on, Amber?
Nothing much. It's my quiet season right now, so hence why you're talking to me. I'm basically working on my website, working on business stuff, starting to, you know, arrange different shoots for the year, get some creative stuff together, all that sort of stuff.
I saw actually you posted something about, I think I was probably lurking, but you posted something about trying to pick photos.
Oh, yeah.
Business material, like for, I guess, for brochures or
I'm putting together they're called welcome packages for people who aren't in the industry. Basically it's something that you send out to your clients when they book with you, that has their contract in it, then it has some interesting materials. You know, what I'm doing is a magazine that's basically info about what to expect for your weddings with some really nice photos and a kind of a welcome message from me.
Mm-hmm.
And then also another little about engagement sessions, booking them, things to think about with your engagement session. And then with that, you usually send like a little gift, like chocolate or something like that. It's a nice way to welcome people to your business and to the experience of having their photos taken by you. Okay. So basically I'm working on those two pamphlets right now, and it's so hard going through your entire body of work, which, I mean, it's been 8 years now, and trying to decide, okay, well, this image I really like, but does it work with these images, and yes. So on and so forth.
It's one thing to have to plug in a couple new images into an existing sort of template,
mm-hmm.
but starting from scratch, that whole blank canvas can be extremely intimidating.
It is. And there's, you know, there's favorites, but then they might not work with others, or they're too similar to something else you've done, or mm-hmm. then you start chasing your tail and getting confused. I'm close. I'm very close to finishing it, but it's definitely been a slog.
Great. Now, for those of you listening at home, we blame Skype. There's been a couple cutouts, drop-offs. Can you hear that, Adam?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. That's Skype. We're hearing everything. It's picking up, but just so you know, it's nothing that Adam and I or Amber are doing. Moving on.
Yes.
Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
People continue to buy stuff through our Amazon site, which we appreciate very much.
Including myself.
More remote control car stuff?
No, nothing related to that, but I can't remember. Washing machine scent killer. You know how like new washing machines, after you use them for a bit, they kind of give a weird stank to them? You buy these pellets that clean your washing machine tank that get rid of that. So I bought those the other day.
Do they work?
Yeah, they work great for like 3 months, and then you every 3 months or so you got to throw one of them in there. Our new washing machine even has a cycle for it.
Hmm. What else about your washing machine?
It's white.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's about it.
Okay. Just the dryer built in?
No, it's separate mm-hmm. dryer. Good. Do they have that?
Apparently they do. They have it over here in Germany, but we don't have it.
Okay. Just all right. I'll keep an eye out for that.
I can't imagine a washing machine that also has a dryer built in being very good.
Right.
So there's that. So if you're looking to buy one of those, buy it on Amazon through our site, though, is what I'm saying to you.
Okay. So. For photography, I was looking last night at some barn doors for the Alien B. So they're not made by Paul Buff but they're just third party barn doors that are marketed for the Alien Bs or the Einstein lights. So they go on and they come with gels all included for like $25. And I thought, how can you go wrong with that? They're metal and seem to look like they'll work okay. So that'll probably be my next photography purchase. Couple of gels included with the barn doors for
what are barn doors?
$30. Ways to direct your light. So what they sound like. Light directing. Like. Well, if you imagine the doors on a barn, they open and close. They're doors that go on your light. You could have them on your flash. You could have them on your studio strobe, but they're or on your LED light. I made some for my LED light, but basically they're extensions that you would put on your light that you could use to direct the light or in a more useful way.
I see.
You know what they are.
I know what they are, yes.
Look it up.
I want to take... Great. Well, that's pretty much the whole our whole show. You could just look it up.
Yeah. Well, no, you can't, because then you wouldn't get our witty interludes.
And that's on Google now.
Mm.
Yeah.
You push the witty interlude button.
Yes. That sounds great. That should be very, very, very handy to shape the light, because you're not going to go and build cereal box snoots, probably. For your giant light.
And like I say, it comes with a fitting, and it's all metal insert for the gels. And I don't have gels for that light. So if I want to create a huge background spray of light in a different color or shade, like that's all in there for $30.
Adam has upgraded to the, which is it? The Paul Buff. What did you have?
I have the Alien B 800. Mm-hmm. I just have one of them.
That's all you need.
Yeah, but you never know. I might want something else. But I have one of these big, or not big, it's actually pretty small now, Paul Buff lithium studio light batteries for on the go, Amber. It's pretty sweet. Oh, have you seen those?
No, I haven't seen them, but I love being able to take stuff out and do things on location. That's awesome.
And it weighs 3 pounds, and it it'll power two, it has two plug, it'll power two full Paul Buff 1600 Alien Bees or White Lightnings or Einsteins, and it's good for about 300 or 400 pops on one charge, and the battery is small and compact and light and only cost I think $250.
That's amazing. Honestly, the last time I took a big strobe out, I think the the battery for it was like 15 pounds or something.
Oh,
it was
really that's heavy. Yeah, they were all those lead acid batteries, and now they've gone to these lithium ones that are just tiny. And like you say, it's just a couple of pounds in a tiny little package. It's pretty awesome.
That's pretty exciting. I might have to look into that.
Yeah, and like you say, the price point, it's so much less expensive than anything else comparable that Paul Buff one. So yeah, have a look at that if you're interested, and it's very popular.
Adam will come and bring it to all your weddings this year.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I've just been tinkering around with it. I haven't had a big need for it yet, but anytime I get the opportunity to sort of do someone's shoot that's outside, I just take it with just for fun. There's always got a few shots where you can use that.
I look forward to borrowing it, man.
There you go.
Yeah. I think they're harder to get over here in Germany. I don't know if they send them here or not.
So, don't know.
Yeah.
Canada's difficult, like we talked about in the past.
Absolutely. Did you shoot anything interesting this week? Amber, let's start with you.
Absolutely nothing. I'm actually going out to shoot today, though. So
what are you shooting today?
I guess today we're going out to Squamish. I'm doing some creative portraits. It's kind of a bit on the fly. A friend of mine wanted to get together and just sort of camera jam. So we're looking, sort of the theme is West Coast creative. So we'll see what happens.
What does West Coast creative mean to you?
Lots of mountains, lots of trees, lots of water. We're going up to Squamish, so that's basically everything is so there.
What kind of a color scheme would you think?
basically, you know, that was greens and blues. And for her actual outfit, I think she's kind of going with like more of a modern dress, but then layered with some kind of really cozy sweaters, just that kind of modern West Coast kind of vibe.
I didn't mean to push you on it, but I wanted to confirm my blue-green bias of the West Coast.
It is definitely very blue and green.
That's how I explain it to people. Like when I get in depth, it's that is the to me the color scheme, and I think that's reflected. I mean, that's why the Canucks wear the uniforms they do.
Oh yeah,
because of that is West Coast to me. So I'm glad I'm not just making that up in my own head.
Mm-hmm. No, that's pretty much all you see. Is as soon as you leave the city, that is the West Coast, other than also very, very gray. But luckily, apparently, it is now spring. It has been for the last month. So
not here. That's what I hear, though. And plus Squamish, it's got to be like the third most Canadian sounding name.
I know, right?
I'm going to go ahead and say Moose Jaw number one.
Probably Moose Jaw.
Or Skookumchuck. Maybe that's number one.
There's also Yellowknife. Don't forget that.
But it's definitely fourth. Right, Adam?
Mm-hmm. I like Saskatchewan,
Saskatoon, specifically. Yeah, that's probably number five. But Squamish, like, you think what is Squamish is fantastic. For those of you who've never been, it's on the way to Whistler, so go check it out.
Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful.
Adam, have you shot anything interesting this week?
I just posted a few pictures on Facebook before we started this podcast from Stanley Park last weekend. So I took a few pictures of the kids. We went to Stanley Park last Sunday, and it was a beautiful sunny day in Vancouver. Again, you would have thought that if you didn't know what time of year it was, you were dropped down in the middle of spring, because everybody was out on their bikes and skateboards, and half the people wearing shorts, and it was unbelievable. So we went to the park, and I had to bring my camera for that. So I posted a few pictures. It was, you know, sun's overhead, so it is what it is, but got some nice shots with using that variable density, neutral density filter, you know, with the two circular polarizers superimposed one. So did that and got some good colors. Actually, my photo challenge picture for this week was out of the batch of those pictures. So I posted a few more. There was other pictures that I liked out of that, so I wanted to post those. They just weren't as negative spacey, so I saved those for Facebook.
So you guys have had like nice warm weather for the last month, you said?
Pretty much, yeah. You wouldn't know it's winter here. It's ridiculous.
Out of curiosity, how does that affect like the color balance? Have you noticed it's still kind of like a bluish tint, or is it
right into spring? No, it's not. Yeah, it seems like spring light to me.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay, so we're still getting the blue colors here. I mean, it is cold. It's zero and gets down to minus in the minuses at night, and so obviously everything is still very, very blue here. I just never occurred.
Things are blooming, like flowers are already up.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I got flowers popping up everywhere. It is spring.
Like cherry blossoms are coming out. Yeah.
Wow. Well, let's not rub it in anymore because it's really cold here.
Yeah.
So there's that. Yeah, we had. Something called fashing, you know, they do, basically it's carnival here in Germany, which ended on Tuesday, which, as you probably know, was Mardi Gras.
Sure. Yeah.
Fat Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, obviously, Ash Wednesday. But they go crazy over here for they call it fashing or fastnets in the south where I am. And like they have clubs like for the whole year, they meet and basically practice their parading and whatnot. And they have these costumes, which are amazing, like these hand carved wooden masks, like that are carved in like the witches' faces. And some of them are pretty scary, like, especially for the kids. OK, really, just only for the kids. I wasn't that scared. But and so they have these big parades and they kind of go around from city to city and village to village. And every day, you know, a different parade. And so we ended up going to about three of them over, you know, like Friday, Saturday, Tuesday kind of thing. So I shot around a little bit around there, try to get shots of the kids because we dressed up as well. That's kind of part of it. So we dressed up as gorillas, my wife and I, and dressed the kids up in a bee and a hippopotamus costume. So I shot some of that.
Who took the picture?
That was father-in-law.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, got it all set up and let him fire away.
Because I saw the picture of you with your wife and gorillas and, yeah.
Right.
I saw all that. I was wondering who took the picture.
That was a snapshot. I've shot the fashion stuff in the past, like gotten some close-ups of some of the masks. So I didn't really focus on shooting that as much as now the focus is kind of on my kids enjoying it. Because the scary witches throw out free candy. So it's like kind of a mix of I'm scared, but I'm getting candy out of the deal.
It's like Halloween.
It is pretty much like their version of Halloween here. Yeah, it is.
Do you guys do? Is there Halloween?
I'm bringing it here.
No, so there. Nice.
we've had a Halloween party that we've thrown the last 3 years since we've had kids, and and so now it gets bigger every year, and so it is becoming a thing.
Well, who doesn't want to get dressed up in crazy outfits and eat candy? I mean, really.
Right, exactly, but that's what they do. They so now we'll have two of them. Essentially, we'll have Halloween and then fashing, which is
even better.
Which is great. Yeah, so shot that. But they also have like fashing, like kinder fashing, which is like for the kids, like because part of obviously it's German, so that means every parade ends with a giant beer garden, like in the beer hall. Everyone's with the big giant, at least half liters, if not liter beers. And but they do have the kid version in the daytime where they go and they have dancing and basically they used to have the, you know what the big song here is, Adam, at the kids to dance to?
No.
Cotton Eye Joe.
Oh, what? No.
Yeah. Lord. You know the one that played every
horrible song.
It's terrible.
I hate that song.
It's, yeah.
That literally creates some kind of visceral response when you just even said the name of that song.
I actually feel slightly on edge just knowing that the name has been said.
Yeah. But you do understand it is, whether you like it or not, you can understand that it is a catchy beat to pretty much everybody.
I'm not going to admit that.
And right. Okay. But it also has been played at every single hockey rink in North America forever.
Yes.
So it's kind of worn out for you, but not that you ever loved it. Not that it was, you know, Mozart at one point, but so they love to play that. And then all the kids dance around. So it turns into this giant, like conga line, like it's a huge place, but I found it's very difficult to take good pictures of your kids while you're trying to manage them. Like, cause you have, you know, in this massive space, I got two little hurricanes running around and trying to photograph them. It's not easy. So that was my week.
Great.
And ice skating today. We took some pictures. The end. Photo challenge. Let's get into it.
All right.
This was issued by Amber. It was negative space.
One of my favorites.
I see there's a lot of pictures in here. So what are we going with here? I see you've got like, some of them are just black and whites and different crops. That's more for later.
The crop is to discuss later because our topic is going to be negative space.
But then you've got a red picture, Al, and then you've got a black and white.
Hey, just say what you see, Adam.
Well, what are you going to go with here?
Should I go first? I'll go first then.
Yeah, you go first.
Go with the red background one.
Okay.
Now there's one that now we generally post them at 800 pixels across, so like are on the long side. So go ahead and click on the smaller one.
Okay, I did it.
Okay, that's what we're looking at. So all there's right. My negative space shot. Go.
It's very negative.
Is it?
Well, there's not the tone, but there's a lot of negative space. There's a overwhelming amount of negative space here for me.
Okay, before I go to the negative guy, maybe I'll get the professional angle.
Go for the professional, because I don't particularly love it. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, I actually really like it. Okay. And the reason for me that I love negative space is really it gives your subject that room to breathe and gives it highlights them because everything else is so blank.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that makes it such an interesting composition is because it leads you right to them instead of them just being the obvious, you know, center of the image. And that it's sort of, it's like it gives your eyes somewhere to sort of rest and then it re-leads them back to your subject again. I really like negative space.
I think what Adam is saying about
this one. I also do. I'm saying... Yeah, can I say what I'm saying about it?
Yes,
I wouldn't know whose kid that was. If there's 5,000 kids there,
yes.
I wouldn't know whose kid that was, and that's the problem I have with it. Is that could be Jack when he's two, that could be Amber's kid, that could be anybody.
From last week's show, you know my policy of shooting other people's kids. So you
right,
know it's
well,
my
I guess,
kid.
I guess no. It is your kid just for that reason. But no, that's my problem with it. I like the background. I like the tree shadow in there. I don't know who that is. It's too small for me.
You're not wrong.
True.
You're not wrong.
You're not wrong about that part. But, you know, not every photo needs to be a close up where you can see clearly who it is. And sometimes you take a photo just because it's an interesting composition.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I did include, and I will post the larger version of this because I think it does need to be larger. At 800 pixels, mm-hmm. My son gets lost. I like the fact that he is so small in the photo, but the picture's too small.
And can I say just one more other thing about it that I actually really like, especially with kids having negative space with them quite small in the image, is showing how incredibly tiny they are.
Yes.
And I love showing, you know, little person, big world. It's just, you know, they're only going to be so small for so long. And it's just really interesting to be able to capture that.
I agree. I like that. Yeah. I like that. But except for, I agree with you 100%, but then you need to have something relative to measure them against. So there's a tree shadow, but we don't know the angle of that tree or shadow doesn't really give us a relative size comparison. Mm-hmm. So if you had a bicycle or some other object in the frame that you could say, wow, that kid really is small, but you're guessing because obviously this could have been, anybody could be made to look small if you take them at the right angle or far enough away, right?
Right.
That's true.
No, I felt the reason I posted two photos this week is because I'm sticking with this one because I like where it's going. I think it might be a little extreme. If I had moved in a little bit, seen a little bit more of my son, but then I would have cut off part of that tree shadow, which to me was kind of helping make the photo. Plus, once I saw that wall, it's kind of rare to see a 2.5-story wall with no windows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was actually wondering just how big is this wall?
Yeah, about 2.5 stories. That's
crazy.
That's Germany. They do kind of weird stuff like that. And so I thought, wow, what a great opportunity. I'll go grab this because we were actually playing at the playground. And I said to my wife, hey, I need this photo. So, Adam, I agree. Like, I think there's going to be a middle ground somewhere where, you know, seeing his expression might make it a little more personal.
Yeah.
So yesterday he actually wandered into my office while I was working, wearing his backpack, that he got for Christmas. And so I decided to quickly snap a photo, in my office of him wearing his backpack where you could see a little bit more of his face.
Yes.
And so that's the black and white one with the negative space there.
I see. I like that.
I anticipated your response.
I really like it. And I would like to see the color version of it.
Meh. It is all right.
Why? Because just the backpack's probably got colors, the color of his shirt. Like, I think this is a really nice photo. But again, I would like the vibrance of the color. I imagine, like, I'm just looking at my kids' backpacks, and they're filled with all kinds of colors. So even if his shirt isn't all that exciting, I don't know what color is his shirt.
Gray. Here.
Gray. Yeah, but then the colors, the backpack should have a bunch of color in it, right?
Mm-hmm. Green.
Well, that could look good.
I'm just going to email this to Ted Turner, and he'll colorize it for us.
Give us some color there. I really do like it. Well, he's got a great expression.
I'm a huge black and white person personally, and I really like, because this really highlights his expression and the way his little hands are. Mm-hmm. You're looking at that instead of at the color, and I love how much of his little personality you see in this, because you've stripped away all the color, and that's literally all you're looking at is him. And to me, I think this really works in black and white.
All right.
There
you
go.
Two for two, Adam.
Sure.
Let's have a look at your photo, Adam.
Sure.
Now, you said you shot this with the ND filter.
Yes.
I didn't know what it was that you had shot with, but there was something. Like, there was some little bit of this that made me think you didn't just shoot this straight out of camera.
Yeah, well, I was just kind of wondering about that.
Because of the time of day, too, right? Like, this was shot with, I want to say, about 2:30 in the afternoon, and sun setting here at, I don't know, 5:30, 5:45. So, this was with the ND filter. Well, it's not really an ND filter. They call it that, but it's two circular polarizers that rotate on top of each other, and you get basically whatever degree of polarization that you want.
Right.
So that's what this is.
I like it.
So there's basically, there is like a huge tree. Amber, you probably know where this is. You probably know Stanley Park really well, right?
Yes.
So this is across from the big fire truck in Stanley Park on that slide. And there's a huge sort of tree where the sun is just coming through a little bit through that tree. And I was looking around for, again, a negative space. I wanted to take a shot where I was going to get the idea of him in the playground, but I was going to have somewhere where it was just going to be pretty much blank. So I started just, you know, looking for angles and this direction, shooting towards the mountains. But I got down really low and sort of got all of that out of it. So the trees and other things that would normally be in the background if I was standing up and looking straight at him, but I got down low so I'd get rid of all of the background and just see him and then the sky. Just, you know, he didn't want to cooperate, so I just timed it. So every time he climbed through the playground and went to the top of the slide, I just took a shot and I got three or four different ideas. And I just like this expression. I like that it's candid, and I like that there's nothing more than the sky in there and the slide. And that's it.
Well, Amber, you go first, and I'm just going to agree with whatever you say.
Well, you know, I absolutely agree. I really like the angle you've gotten here, using the sky as a kind of a blank negative space to lead into him. And I really actually like the way that the slide has been sort of cropped, the way that it kind of swoops along on the right-hand side of the frame. It's really compositionally really quite nice. And the thing about the leading lines of the slide is that both sort of draw you right to his face, and then you see his expression. He's obviously in the middle of playing and having a really good time, which is exactly what you want to capture of childhood.
And you got the balance of the light here is great. It's not often that you can get that where you can, like, because he's kind of in, any little further back he's going to be in the shadow, like his right hand is.
Yeah.
So great getting the sun on his face and balancing it with the blue. And the part where it really made me think that you didn't just shoot this right at a camera, you know, you had a filter of some sort, was the crispness of the red.
Oh, yeah, the red totally came out with that filter. Yeah, yeah.
Because normally, I mean, you know, for a long time, they still don't do it. They advise you don't really wear red when you're shooting on, like, on TV or something like that, because red is notoriously difficult to get right. It's getting better and better. The technology has gotten better, but getting that red to look like really crisp, have crisp edges instead of kind of blowing out in that red channel while the blue looks so crisp is really hard to do.
Well, and basically that's what I had to do, play with in post, was the red. Like the red channel, I had to bring the saturation down because, again, it did show up more orange because of that filter with the blue. So I did have to bring both the vibrancy and the saturation and play with the basically just the red channel to get the red channel to balance out. Because, yeah, it was too vibrant and too orange with even with that filter on, because it brought up the blue, but it also brought up the red into more of an orange.
And I mean, one of my nitpicks over the last few months really is that when Adam sends me his pictures already resized, Adam doesn't do sharpening after resizing.
No.
Okay. Ever. And sometimes, like, I nitpick and say, well, I think this one could benefit from just a hint of sharpening, maybe around the eyes. This is one of those photos that I think benefits from not being sharp. It's kind of got that a little bit of softness to it that looks natural. And I'm not going to say it looks like Kodachrome film, but it's in that direction.
Yeah, it's kind of got that feel to it.
Yeah.
So I think actually, to shoot your point down there, I think that, well, this is the first set. I went back to Lightroom and I basically subscribed to the plan. I said I was going to get around to it, and I did. Uh-huh. And on export, this does have a tiny bit of sharpening to it. So
okay, well.
So there you go. Because it has it in there. Aperture didn't have that as simple.
Can I make
simple control. Sorry, go ahead, Amber.
I was going to make a confession. I don't ever sharpen after export or at export, ever.
Okay. Do you ever sharpen, like when you go for the web, do you, that's it? It's just out of Lightroom?
Straight out of camera.
Yeah. There you go. Sometimes I do selective sharpening. I might paint it in some places later. It depends. It depends how you resize. Lightroom does a very good job. I've noticed, like, Adam and I are both pretty new to Lightroom.
I love Lightroom.
Yeah, I was dragging my heels for some time. I'm on an older version of Lightroom because I refused to upgrade my computer because of Final Cut Pro. That's a long story, but I just can't upgrade because I have to keep using Final Cut Pro. So, but I'm on Lightroom 4 and I'm loving it. Adam on the new one, and it is light years ahead of Aperture.
Oh yeah.
And so I'm very thrilled with what it's doing. It does a much better job, especially coming out of Aperture. I found I always needed to sharpen the smaller image. Anyways, I like how it looks here. I like where there's a certain softness to your son's face that looks really good.
Well, thank you.
Okay, so let's see. I did two this week. Adam, just the one. Oh, Amber did two. Hey.
You did two, so I figured, you know what? Yeah. Fine. I'm going to do two.
Yeah, Adam. Well, Adam phoned it in.
Great.
Yeah. No, let's have a look.
Which are we going to look at first?
Which do you suggest, Amber? Which one first?
Well, we went with your red one first, so let's go with my red one first.
I've seen this one on your website, I think.
Yeah.
This is one of the ones, if someone showed me this photo, I would know who took it.
Yeah, it's one of those ones that I've actually had a lot of feedback about. So I felt it was a really good example of negative space because it is one that gets a lot of attention. I particularly thought, too, this one, because the other one isn't quite so blank, but this one is literally just negative space and them. And really, they're just the color of the wall, they're, you know, and the light, it just highlights them and your eyes immediately go straight to them. But then also the red is just so gorgeous and saturated. So it's this really, really nice backdrop to them.
And that's where's Good Will Hunting?
Where's this done?
This is in Granville Island, actually. It's a parking garage.
Of course.
And the light?
And the light is literally the opening to the parking garage.
Wow. It looks totally studio lighting done. Like I would never have guessed that was light that you just found.
Well, and that's the beauty of window light. Well, essentially window light is it can, when you use it the right way, it can really look like studio light.
That's what we're always shooting for when we are doing studio light, is kind of replicating this.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's fabulous. I mean, I love the composition and the pose and all of that. So I'm thinking like, oh, this is a great couple's pose that, again, with, the negative space all behind them, that just works so nicely that, I love it. I absolutely love it.
Thank you.
As do I. Yeah. Is this a place that you knew of ahead of time, or did you stumble across this while you were shooting with them?
I knew about it ahead of time. I had been planning, actually. There's three walls. There's one that's yellow, there's one that's orange, and there's one that's red. And I was originally going for the yellow one, but by the time I got there, there was a big vehicle parked in front of it. So we ended up in front of the red.
Right. And Granville Island's great for that.
Yeah, no, Granville Island's perfect for lots of color, lots of texture. The only issue is during the summertime, there's always a million photographers down there. So it can get a little difficult to get your prime spots.
Yep.
I will use this pose at some point in the future because I love how it looks, and it looks so natural. And I also, don't often think to compose the image with the negative space in behind them this way. And I mean, it just looks so great. I mean, I guess if you did it all the time, it probably would become less unique and lose a little bit of its appeal, but I love it because it is so unconventional.
Well, absolutely. And if you see the rest of the images from the set, I then went in closer and then it's more about them and kind of interacting and stuff. So it's kind of, you're shooting it as a part of a set.
I don't think to do this. I don't think to take this wide shot like this. And so, no, it's good. That's why I think it's good to see, people that are better than you do this stuff, because I don't get that from Al very often.
Right.
Yeah. I will say one thing, too, if you really want to make this pose natural like it is in this image. So basically, I got them into this pose and they're sort of, okay, what now? What? And so I asked him to start sort of snorkeling her is what I said, something to make them laugh at what I'm saying. And then so he gets in there and he starts kind of like pulling her close and giving her kisses. And then I asked if she was ticklish, which of course makes her laugh because she is. It's the anticipation of even the fact that he might tickle her is right. What caused this to happen.
Very natural.
Yeah, no, it's great. Great.
Yep.
Okay. What about the other one? Cause we agree that one is better than both of ours combined.
Well, combined is a push, but all right.
I'm so carrying you. One. I'm carrying you.
Well, hang on a second. Hang on a second. To be fair, we did both shoot ours this week.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
Oh, now I just got aggressive. I'm sorry. Don't say pedophile. Don't say pedophile. Okay, go.
Okay.
Okay. So the other spot, the other shot, I like, and I really wanted to share too, because where we were, it's this huge field of grass, and there's actually trees off in the distance, but I really wanted to highlight just how enormous the field was and the big open sky where we were, because we're right next to where the airport is. So there's no buildings or anything around there, which is, you know, hard to find in Vancouver, actually, well, Richmond, I guess. And I really wanted to just highlight them in the field, and use that kind of foreground, kind of intrigue of the out of focus grass to sort of lead you in to them kissing.
It works.
Done.
Yeah, it definitely leads you in. This, to me, I mean, I like this photo. I like the other one, to be honest. I like the other one more. Mm-hmm. This one is a little bit more conventional, but I like it. I just, to me, this one, this speaks to Vancouver. This is to me a lot of what my Vancouver lighting looks like, right? You get this light a lot more, but they just don't look as comfortable to me. And maybe it's the guy, I'm not sure what it is. It's got nothing to do with your photo as much as it does their pose. Like, I'm a physiotherapist and I look at this. No, that's the angle I'm coming from. I'm not coming from photographer here. I'm coming from physiotherapist looking at their angles. Like, he looks a little awkward. Her back looks a little bit kinked. Like, it just, to me, there's something about that.
So you could give them Adam's card.
Yeah. I'm thinking she's going to need a little bit of some back rehab in about a month or two. Yeah. No, I don't know. What do you think, Al?
No, I do. I like this photo. I have not seen this one. The red one I had seen prior, but, no, I love it. This is one of those ones where, you know, people like to complain that, oh, well, there's some blown out pixels in the sky or something. But the lack of detail exactly really makes the photo for me.
Oh, absolutely. Because of, I think, the wide angle, right? I think in tighter, it would be a little different. But I think the wide angle, it completely makes it for that background. But yeah, I feel like that's me in any picture that I would try to not. Like, if I was in the picture, if I was trying to pose, this is sort of the guy awkwardness in this photo. Like, I think the girl seems much more relaxed. The guy's like, uh-oh, what should I do? Where should I put my hand? How should I lean forward? Like, that's kind of, that's my my feel on it.
I didn't even see that. The takeaway for me here is that, first of all, this is kind of what you try to do when you take these negative space shots. But the extra step is the out of focus grass on the left balancing the image on the right.
Yeah. So where those long strands fall, like, that is, yeah, it just awesome, because if those are over a little bit to the right, and you obviously intentionally did it this way, but then it doesn't frame it so nicely.
There's also, we have a couple things that this may be me reading into it. I don't know. Maybe Amber did it on purpose. First of all, going left to right, like we, you know, in the Western world, we read left to right naturally. So that's kind of where we start and look into the image. But it's also a slight tilt downhill into the couple. So I actually like the fact that they're tilting back away from it because of the angles created. And you can go ahead and lie here if you like, Amber, but was that on purpose, that tilt?
I would love to say it was. Okay. No, I actually had not actually really thought about that part of it.
All right, well.
But I like it.
There you go.
I just, sometimes, like, this to me, because it's kind of got those varied lines, I didn't really feel it had a terribly obvious horizon, so I didn't worry about how much it was skewed, if it was or not. Sometimes with straightening, I kind of go by feel. Mm-hmm. If it's not, like, you know, an actual line. So, no, but now that you mentioned it, I do actually really like that.
There you go. I'm
I learned something about my own photo.
But it happens. I mean, this is an engagement session, correct?
It is, yeah.
And so likely just getting to know the people, maybe met them once or twice before, but this is generally, you do this to get to know them for the wedding day.
Exactly. Yeah. It's for them to sort of get past the jitters of having their photos taken, because it's always nerve-wracking.
Sure.
So once we get to the actual wedding, it's like, Miss Amber, we know we'll look great. And then they just relax and let me do my thing.
Right. And so in these situations, I find that, like, it is little details like this that I would love to do. I would love to balance it, like, because the grass on the left, it is out of focus. It's not dominant. You might start there because that's where your eye goes to, but you quickly go to the couple. It balances it nicely. I would like to think that in my head that I would go out and, yeah, I could do this shot, like, on purpose. I could do this. But in the context of an engagement session, when you probably have, I don't know how long you go for, maybe 60 minutes or something like that, expectations are, unfortunately, nowadays, that they're going to get, you know, 30 prints in 60 minutes, which is kind of crazy. So oftentimes these little details kind of fall by the wayside when you're focusing on more, you know, the relationship with them. That's
well, I actually do a longer engagement session. I do 2 hours. It's enough to make it so that by the end of it, they're really relaxing, and that's when we get the really great stuff. Mm-hmm. And yeah, expectations are high, but I find once you start sort of trying to expand the big picture as well, you're like, how many photos you're doing that are, you know, the big picture as well as close details and close kind of emotional photos as well, mm-hmm. You easily can give them as many prints as they're looking for.
Right.
And what's your workflow here? Like, or is there a typical one when you're sort of, you know, find a spot and you're like, all right, here's one of our spots and we're going to do some photos here. Do you start with the wide and work in, or do you go the other way? Cause where's your priority if you're limited on time?
I usually start with something about a mid range, like a three quarter. And then I go in for a closer up and then I do the wide. But I wouldn't say it's always a certain way. I mean, I sometimes will break my own rules, but I do try to start a little bit closer and not do anything too crazy, you know, emotional kissing, that sort of thing for the first few shots, just because it's really difficult to get into it. Right. And it's really hard to just be natural and be in front of the camera. Everybody's nervous. So I just sort of ease them into it. And then I go for that emotional shot and get right up close. And that sort of breaks the ice of, okay, we're doing this now.
Yeah. And is this a 50 mil shot? This one we're looking at?
This one, I believe, is a 50 mil. I can't remember. I don't have my Lightroom on my laptop right now. It's either a 50 or an 85. I might have been quite far away, but
yeah.
I think it's the 50.
Well, I'm just thinking if you are a reasonable distance away, are you just, hey, keep it going, keep the romance going?
Pretty much,
you know?
Yeah.
All right.
And keep kissing. Sometimes they stop and look at me like, more? Yes, yes, just keep doing it.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Actually, I do want to just mention one thing, though. You said that the sky had some blown out portions, and actually, you might want to balance your monitor because it is actually not blown out.
No,
I agree. I
actually
agree.
It's coming in just fine. I'm on. I was just being a pretend pixel peeper.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there isn't. It's not blown out at all. Yeah.
No. I'm just teasing. Not really accusing you of anything.
No. Honestly, I don't even care half the time. But with this one, I really wanted to make sure that the sky had, because if you have it at the right settings, you can actually see like the sweeping of the. It's mostly blank sky, but there is a little bit of sky detail, which yes. I really wanted to keep in there.
Yeah,
I do see.
That's
that.
The only reason. I mean, honestly, I blow out the sky all the time. It's one of those things where you can't always have the sky be beautiful and you know, textured like this. Is not always going to happen. Sometimes you just have to expose for the skin, and that's the main part, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely. Great. Okay, Adam wins this week.
Yeah.
No, come on. Are you kidding me? You finished. You squeaked in a third. This week's topic is negative space, so we're going to talk a little bit more about...
I think Amber covered it, yeah.
Well, she hit some of the broad strokes, but there's a little more to it. So, first of all, I wanted to point out that negative space, just in general, Adam hates it. Adam's not a fan.
Not true. It all depends on the photo.
Nah, I love it a lot more than Adam does. But what does it mean? Now, I've heard it called white space before. Anybody?
Yeah, no, I've heard it called that as well, but I think that's sort of misleading in what it actually is.
Absolutely, it is. It is. It's. I think it just comes from like an advertising background, and that's kind of where I was first introduced to the concept. Because you know, early on, you know, when you're doing anything, you're designing your website, design whatever, you're thinking, oh yeah, I want, you know, of course I want tons of buttons, and they should all flash. You know, that's why MySpace is still so popular. But then, you know, I dealt with some clients who were like, well, we need some more white space. And I thought, oh, great, I'll have to go look that up in my Encyclopedia Britannica. And found, oh, that's what they meant. But I think you're right. Negative space is a much more accurate description of what it is. So what is it?
I'm not going to try to describe it.
Basically, it's an area of your photo or image or whatever that is essentially blank. I mean, there can be some texture and color to it, but it's very plain in comparison to the actual subject. And so because it's so blank, it highlights the subject and it makes your eyes go directly to it.
So if, like, for instance, you're the picture of your couple in the grass. Mm-hmm. If they weren't in the picture, would you have a picture?
No, I guess a bit of the grass would be the picture, but it wouldn't be quite as engaging because the subject isn't quite so highlighted.
And I mean, if it's all negative, then
it's just a negative photo.
Right. Okay.
So it's like a very minimal background.
And why? Why do we do this? Like early on when people are taking photos badly, poorly, a lot of headroom or a lot of, you know, the instinct is, you know, to back up and shoot everything. And then when you kind of start to learn, to fill the frame. That's something we learned early on. Now you're saying the opposite.
Yes. But it's a more engaging composition. It's not a hard and fast rule. I mean, you do sometimes want to fill the frame, and that's also very, very engaging.
Why do we fill the frame in the first place? What does filling the frame accomplish?
Well, then it highlights the subject entirely. That's what you're looking at.
Right. Okay. 20 minutes straight.
The thing about negative space and having a very interesting composition like that is your eyes move around the whole frame, and it gives you sort of food for thought. You know, there's more emotions. It's not just here's the thing. It's here's the thing and its surroundings. And that's what I really like about it.
You said breathing room earlier, which I found I found funny, because when I was thinking about when you posted or proposed this challenge, I thought about, you know, negative space and what is it that I like about it. And I didn't bother Googling anything until after. But I thought about it, and the first thing that came to me was breathing room. That's how I felt it. It gave room to breathe. Mm-hmm. And then if you Google it, that's kind of what people describe is breathing room. And to me, it's not exactly what it means, but it does kind of bring life to the picture.
It does. Yeah. It's like there's more being said than just what you're taking a photo of. It's like a comment almost, I feel.
And how does that affect the person looking at the picture? What do you find normally versus like a tight shot?
Well, I feel like there's more read into it. They feel more about the whole situation. It's not just, oh, here's a nice photo of two people kissing. It's, you know, where are they? And wow, look at that light. And, you know, there's more thought going on.
I find, what do you find about like the time, like how long people look at a photo with negative space versus a tight shot?
Oh, exactly. Like they take more time. I mean, you can look at a photo with negative space for a good while and sort of think different things about it. Whereas a tight shot, you look at it, looks nice. Okay. Can see their face next. You know, it's not quite the same. And I do love, tight photos. Don't get me wrong, but, it's just, I don't know. I really love negative space and for that sort of ability to convey a feeling, a sense of time, just a little bit more about what's going on.
I agree. I enjoy the context without distracting from the subject. Now, as an example about
exactly
breathing room, I posted a cropped shot of one of my challenge photos. So you guys can see here's a tight crop of my son in the backpack versus the breathing room shot.
I don't think I have this one.
Did I not send that one to you?
No.
Oh, that's just bad hosting.
It basically looks like basically a typical 8x10 that you would think of a child. Yeah. So it's really close on his other arm. So you just lose that breathing room. Still a very nice shot, but I like the other one better. And again, it's for all the reasons that you guys have just described.
It's in your inbox now, Amber.
Okay.
Should you want to look at it? Yeah, I actually look at this photo and I think, actually, it doesn't really hammer my point home. I do like the other one better. I like the negative space better. But I wish this was one that really, you know, hit you over the head with it. But I guess that's not how it works.
Yeah, I mean, it's really nice like this, too. That's totally true. But again, like you said, I do like the other one better. But this one isn't. This is one of those ones that's going to look great either way. Because he's, I mean, look at him. He's awesome.
Right. He's adopted. So now when we're looking to do, we want to go out there and take negative space photos. How do we do it? What do we look for?
You really want to look for, well, my biggest things are areas that have a lot of sky to work with. That can be hard in Vancouver with the mountains and buildings and whatnot. Sometimes it's better to go out someplace like Richmond. a lot of sky, somewhere that has nice big walls. Granville Island has a lot of that. Or something also that's really a good tool to use when you're trying to get negative space and you're somewhere that is more cluttered is using foreground. So using, say, a wall or an edge of something that's you can kind of fill your foreground with, and then just have your couple or whoever your subject pass that, and that kind of cuts out everything. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if that makes sense. It's hard to explain without showing a photo.
Well, go to Amber's website. I bet she has one on there and you can find it yourself.
Yeah, there's something, there'll be stuff. For instance, I had a birth I photographed last year, and one of the shots, she's in the birth tub. You don't see anything, just putting that out there. Anyone who does, go to my website. But it's her and she's in the tub in the room that she's going to give birth in, and her doula is sort of holding her and encouraging her. And there's a lot of stuff. They put like a video camera behind the tub, which was kind of really annoying and didn't want that in my photos and whatnot. So I actually stood out in the hallway, and I used the wall of the hall, and the doorway to create that negative space and just have them framed from a distance in the doorway. So that's another way of creating negative space.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a picture of the husband in a smoking jacket in the hallway with a beer?
No, I don't.
Okay, all right.
Is that how you did it, Adam?
No, I was in there. I was just thinking, like, for me personally, I guess I'm not a modern enough man, but like the idea of photographing the birth to me is so far away from my comfort level.
Well, you know, like, honestly, I'm just putting it out there. Go ahead and have a look at my blog post of it. It's only a couple blog posts back. You don't like the idea isn't that you're taking a photo of the actual birth. It's all right. The moments surrounding it. Mm-hmm. So there's actually very minimal nudity. It's more about the interaction of you as a couple, the key players who are there, the emotions that they all go through, because it is extremely emotional.
Yeah.
And it is quite an amazing experience to be going through. From my own birth, I can say it's a life changer.
You remember that? You were like zero.
No. I mean, my birth experience with my son. Oh yeah, no, totally. It was most amazing day of my life. But it's more about the that struggle that you all go through together to bring this child into the world. And then, oh my God, the baby's here. And that first look that people have on their face when they first meet their baby and see them and they're crying and it's amazing. And oh my God, what just happened? And that's what birth photography is these days. It's not so much that actual shot of,
the
documentation of it.
I was just thinking, like, as the photographer to the other couple, Again, it's a one of those experiences, you know, that I think is too personal. Like if I, not in a million years would I have invited anybody else to come in, anybody to come in and take photos of my wife and I with the all of that going on. So that's what I was more, as a photographer, I was like so far from my comfort level of being involved in that and someone else's situation.
It's all about comfort levels too. I mean, it's absolutely not for everybody. And I mean, it is, I do have the bonus of I'm a woman. So, and I've gone through it. I've actually been to other births and not recorded them as well. So I have a lot of experience with it. And so it's easier to be more comfortable with me. With a man, it would be a little bit weirder, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no question. Even though I've been through two of them, well, ours were different, but, you know, it would just be, I couldn't imagine doing it myself. But I've heard of there are guys who do this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I do know some. And I shoot video. I shoot video stuff like for weddings or have shot weddings a long time ago or any video project. I can't imagine being there shooting video of this as a dude.
No, me either.
No. Like,
even if you say it's not necessarily the nitty gritty details, but just all of the background stuff, I couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. So power to you, Amber. I think, yes. I think that's great. Yeah.
Yeah. And I did see when you posted the blog post, I saw the first photo, like wherever you post, like, I guess the first photo and then, hey, click through to see the rest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I didn't click through. I will now. Well, now that you say to.
Just a disclaimer, there is nothing gross that you're going to see. So go ahead and have a look.
Well, and now I'm interested. Now I'm interested. I have to check it out.
It's mostly just documentation, photojournalism, photography. And it's also like it's quite the challenge, like you said, because you're trying to be photojournalistic, but also there's something very intense happening. So trying to be, you know, respectful of everything and but also get those shots. And I will say one, we've gone on a complete tangent, but about that birth that I like mentioning, cause it just makes me smile, is I was on call to do that birth and I got the phone call that she had gone into labor and it was happening really quick. And I was alone with my son who was 6 months at the time and I couldn't get anyone quickly enough to come get him. So I had to take him with me.
Wow.
I brought his travel cot so that he could go to sleep there. But I don't know if he just felt the energy in the, cause it was at her own home. I don't know if he just somehow knew something really exciting was happening, but he would not be put down. So I had to throw on my carrier and I had him on my back and I shot this entire wedding with, you know, laid on my back. He was alternately, you know, trying to look around and passing out and having naps, and it was
holding the bounce board.
Yeah, it was.
Did
it
you
was,
get anybody get shots of you doing
there,
that?
There are some shots of me with him, which are pretty funny.
Oh, that is great! I can't believe you don't live in Portland.
It's pretty close, you know.
Yeah, sounds like it. Yes. But really quickly back to what makes a negative space photo. Some of the things that I look for just simple backgrounds. Like you said, the sky works great or whatever. Stuff that's uncluttered, that's not going to draw any attention. And it's nice because if you can find that, you don't have to worry about throwing something out of focus. Because one of the ways to unclutter the background is to shoot at, you know, f1.4 and, you know, then everything's blown out. Focus-wise, depth of field-wise, and then you don't have to worry about it. But if you can find a really nice, uncluttered background, like when you're walking around, for example, Granville Island, and you mark down, oh, boy, that looks really nice. I bet you that would look great in an hour. Mm-hmm. And then you come back another time at that same time. Now most of your work is done if you can find a simple, uncluttered background. The other thing that I look for is basically a contrast to the subject. Now, whether that's the background's much lighter, like the sky with your couple, where that's blown out, or not blown out, out.
Yeah.
Relatively speaking, much brighter, much on the right-hand side of the histogram than your couple is. Now, that provides a great backdrop, so the eye goes right to them. Or with the red wall on your couple, using the color contrast, because they're not wearing red. And, mm-hmm. and that's very important too. So they obviously they stand out from that bright red background. So finding anything like that where you your subject can pop out, and you're halfway there. Then you have some work to do to make it look good. But that's generally what I look for. And if you're really good, then you can find, like Amber said, find the foreground, which I don't do enough of when it comes to negative space. I'm going to now. Starting now, not now, but starting now, moving forward, Adam.
Right, right now.
I've learned something.
I think we've all learned something.
Yes.
I actually think it's a really fun way, a really great way, thing to use negative space with kids, actually, because often you can find some foreground in, say, your house or something if they're...
Okay, how old is...
Just kind of running around and playing, and then Evan, he's two now.
He's two. Okay, so you're at the edge of where he's going to hold still in negative space.
Yeah, well, it's more that I get myself into the position. I know, okay, this mm-hmm. is the negative space kind of frame I want to have, and then I wait for him to run by. So I get kind of that moment of him doing whatever crazy thing he's doing.
If I understand Adam correctly, there's another 8 to 10 years of that ahead of you.
Yep. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's what I hear.
That's where I'm at. As I explained to Adam and other listeners, is like my daughter, who's three now, she loves looking at the photo albums that we've made for her first three birthdays.
Mm-hmm.
But now she will not pose for a photo.
Yep. That's what I'm worried about.
Why not make that connection? You love the photo albums. How do you think those get made? Magic?
Well, I'm battling right now that when he sees the camera, he immediately wants the camera. Uh-huh. Like, whoa, this kid loves cameras. And I can literally only get a couple shots of him before he starts having a big meltdown because he needs the camera. So that's where I'm at right now.
Well, sounds like you got to buy him a camera.
I think so. I actually gave him my old 10D, but he's not convinced that it's as good as my camera because I don't have a lens for it right now. A lens that I don't care if he smashes, basically.
Sure.
Yeah. I thought he was griping about the ISO noise or something.
I know, right?
No, he's a megapixel freak. I know that kid.
Seriously. He's very discerning. But no, I have at least put a memory card in it so he can see some photos go by on the background, and that's okay, but he needs a lens is what he's basically communicating with me. He knows it's not as good as my camera. Somehow he knows this. I don't know how.
But. All right, kid, here's the 400 mil lens. Enjoy carrying that around.
Seriously. Yeah. You can wear the hood as a hat.
Yes. Adam.
Yes.
Next week's challenge.
You have one.
Of course I've got one.
Okay, let's hear it.
We're going the other way. It's going to be fill the frame now.
Oh, I thought you were going to say positive space.
Positive, well, that's what that is, isn't it?
I don't know.
I've never heard that phrase, positive space.
Well, I just invented it.
Trademark, Adam.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to, now that we just learned how to take negative space photos, we're going to fill the frame just to zig when we should be zagging.
Okay.
And we'll revisit negative space later on.
Okay, great.
The next one says websites on my notes. Right.
Let's lead with Amber.
Do you guys like websites?
Yes.
Heck yeah.
Oh, that's not what I'm talking. Oh, wow. Where can we find your websites?
Okay. Well, my website is amberhughes.ca. I can also be found on Facebook at facebook.com/amberhughesphotography.
And I urge everyone to check it out.
Yes,
please.
Yes, if you want to feel bad about your own photos, that's what I recommend.
No, if you want to learn how to take better photos, yeah.
No, that's absolutely right. I like going to places like that, and that's why we like having Amber on the show, because she'll tell you whatever you want to know. She'll tell you how she made the shot. We talked a couple weeks ago about letting go of your ego, and one of the things that we talked about is I don't like photographers who are really protective and won't talk at all about it, about their process.
Right.
Well, you know, it's just frustrating because it's, you know, I'd rather everybody have a chance to explore their passion in photography than try and push people down and minimally, mm-hmm. you know, improve myself. I gain as much from talking to other photographers as they gain from talking to me.
Very healthy.
It's all, you know, it's a very healthy attitude, I think. And we're really lucky in Vancouver. I mean, maybe I'm partly a product of the industry I'm in, but the photographers in Vancouver, at least in weddings, are incredibly welcoming, incredibly supportive. We all share everything with each other, basically. You know, I can email my competition and ask them, you know, where'd you get your welcome packages, just as an example, and they'll get back to me with that. You know, it's not so closed, and that way we kind of fuel our industry and make it even better as a whole, as ourselves, minimally better on our own.
And if I'm looking to hire somebody, anything, not even just photographers, in anything, I would recognize that self-confidence in someone who's willing to share. Someone who's so confident in their own abilities that they're willing to show other people. That's someone I'm going to hire. So we'll talk about that in another episode, because I want to talk about how to hire a wedding photographer. So that was amberhughes.ca. Adam.
Yes, adamschwartz.ca and the Two Hosers Facebook.
I feel left out. I have a .com, alnatridge.com. I didn't go with the CA.
Right, because you're not in Canada.
Sometimes.
Sometimes you are. Sometimes. Not right now.
Yeah, yeah. I did try to go. I do have alnatridge.de too, but I, you know, spoiler alert, it's the same. It's the same site. But I did get that. I tried. I think I told you a long time ago. I tried to get Alan, A-L-L-A-N, .de. But it was taken. And so I urge everybody else to go to allen.de and see why I couldn't get that. It's pretty funny.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, really thrilled about that. So check me out at allenatridge.com, the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find all the links and the photos that we just talked about.
Great.
That's it. Amber, thanks a lot for being back on the show.
My pleasure.
And Adam, thanks a lot for, you know, doing it how you do it.
Great. You're welcome.
Until next week. Get out there and make better photos.